Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 2? And in Luke chapter 2, you know what we find there. We find the story of the birth of our Lord. We read part of it just a few minutes ago. So as you find Luke chapter 2 once again, then I want to kind of introduce things. Did you know that most of our mental images of Christmas, come from medieval art? Did you know that? You know, we've had these pictures in our minds forever because they've been around forever for us. How many of you have seen a Christmas card with three wise men coming to the Christ child at the manger? Anybody? How many of you probably have one at home on your counter right now or on the wall? You know, and they arrived just, according to the picture, it looks like just minutes after his birth. But if you go back and read the account of the Magi, you're going to find out that if you read it very carefully, it could have been up to 2 years before they found Jesus. And it says, it didn't say that when they came to him at the manger or at the stable. It says they came to where the child's house was. So he was a young child at that time, more than likely, probably pretty close to 2 years. And of course, we do know this, that the Christmas cards do show three wise men. And we don't know exactly how many of them came, but the unnumbered Magi actually brought three gifts. Do you remember what they were? They were, stop, this section. What was the first one? Y'all can be taught. That's awesome. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now listen, if we can get confused about the Magi, the wise men, the stargazers that came, it really would not be very hard to misinterpret shepherds as well, because we have our own version of shepherds that are shown to us, again, in medieval art, and we get this mental image of gentle folk singing by the campfire. It's almost Boy Scoutish, you know, where they're sitting around and their sweet little faced sons, you know, beardless faces and angelic songs and their swains. Listen, that's not the way it was. That's not the shepherds that we read about here. All these things that we think about remind us of a Psalm of David. But folks, I'm going to tell you, the shepherds that God contacted that night were not the Hallmark-faced angels that we picture. In this period of history and that we're about to read about, shepherding was a despised vocation. Most people didn't like them except for the necessity of what they provided, but they didn't like the people and they didn't like the mess that they left behind. These were people who grazed their sheep on other people's land. Now listen, do you remember anything about the American history and about the cattle wars and the land wars? Do you? If you don't, listen, I suggest that you go read one of those great history books by Louis L'Amour. Listen, he uses a lot of facts in there, a lot of facts about history. But you see, they were scorned as shiftless, dishonest people who grazed their sheep on other people's lands. They were a rough breed of men. Again, not like the sweet little Hallmark faces that you see on our cards. I want you to think about this. Do you remember the old rough and rowdy cowboys that used to come in and tear up the town? Again, reference Louis L'Amour. No? Listen, you need to watch more Westerns. John Wayne? These guys did the same job that these rough and rowdy cowboys would do as they came into town and shot up the town and were banned for certain sections of the town. Listen, they did the same job that they did, except they didn't have horses. They had to chase after them by foot. They had to go after them and take care of them, not on the back of a horse, but by foot. Listen, it was hard work in those days. How many of you have been to Israel? Let me see your hands. How many? Okay. How many people saw wonderful grazing grounds of grass while you were there? What did you see? Rock. Lots of rock. Listen, Israel will never run out of rock. That's what they've got. Rock hills, a few small rock plains, and what little vegetation grows there is precious. And these guys would do everything they could to find grass and feed where they could. And so they were a bit of a notorious lot for being in places they shouldn't be. Nobody, but nobody encouraged their young sons to grow up to be shepherds. Nobody. They were mostly a tough, rough, dirty, smelly, ordinary people. Now I want you to notice as we read the scripture in just a moment together, to whom the angels bring the first tidings of the Savior's birth. I'm going to tell you, we would have pronounced to kings. If it was up to us and Jesus was going to be announced, we'd have gone to presidents and kings and princes and TV stations and had parades. We would have had angels to come and go to religious leaders and say, look, the Savior has come. You know what? God got Moses to the top awfully quick, didn't he? By having him found in the river by the Pharaoh's daughter. Why not with Jesus, right? Because God had a different plan. Why was the first revelation of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ revealed to shepherds? I'm going to tell you, because it discovers the heartbeat of God. Would you stand in honor of reading God's word with me? Luke chapter 2, this time we're going to read through verse 14. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. I love the King James Version. It says, and they were sore afraid. It means they were afraid. The scripture says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Folks, this is the biblical account of the angels coming to a group of people to first announce the arrival of Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God-man, God with us. And he revealed it to the upper crust called shepherds. Folks, my wife did not let me name this message what I wanted to. She said it was a little too much. The title of the message is, He Came for Shepherds. I wanted to call, He Came for Rednecks. Are shepherds not the original redneck? Folks, out in the sun, out in the fields, listen, they were the original tough shepherd guys. God didn't come for the elite. God came for the ordinary. Folks like us. Listen, if he just came for the elite, how much in trouble would we be? But he came for folks like me, just regular people. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for your love, for the revelation of your word that reminds us that Christ Jesus came for sinners. God, how do we say thank you enough that you didn't come for the spiritual elite, but you came for folks like us? The revelation of the Almighty God to sinful man. We bless the name of the Lord our God, for truly you are good. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Shepherds are a metaphor for the people Jesus came to save. Now listen, you know, us country boys in Texas, and I know that you know that you don't think we live in the country, but I'm going to tell you, this is about as country as a lot of Texas gets. And we consider ourselves country people because we don't live in downtown Houston, and all God's people said. So, you see, the angels came for people like us, and shepherds are the metaphor for the kind of people Jesus came to save. good old country rednecks like us, if you will. People that are just down to earth, normal, ordinary. The power of the text says that they came and that the glory of God shone round about them. You see, the angels came to shepherds in their routine, in their everyday life. The angels came to them, the working people, the working class. I cannot tell you what this does for my heart, and it ought to for you, because God came for everybody. That is what the birth of Jesus Christ is all about. It's about God meeting us where we are. Amen? Not where you could be, not where you should be, not where you ought to be, but God meeting you right where you are right now. In your defiance, in your doubt, in your hurt, in your confusion, wherever you are, that's where God wants to meet you. You don't have to wait till you get perfect to come to God, because you see, hello, it's not going to happen. God doesn't come to us when we finally get things right. And all God's people said, woo, praise the Lord. But he comes where we are. It's about God coming to us, not on just the holy days, not just on the Sunday, but the ordinary days and the ordinary places and in the ordinary ways. God reveals himself and he comes to us and he wants to be a part of our life every moment of our day. It's about God coming into our lives and saying, do not be afraid, for I'm offering to you good news of great joy. And he didn't say it's for your governors, it's for the leaders. He says it is for all people. Thank you, Lord. It's about God meeting us. It's about God being with us. Emmanuel means God with us, and his name shall be called God with us, Emmanuel. In our pain and loneliness, in our frustration, and sometimes in our anger, it's about meeting him on Monday morning in the midst of traffic. It's about meeting him on Wednesday nights in the middle of a tough week. It's about meeting him when family seems to be falling apart and when your job is not very sure. Folks, God is all about meeting us where we are, if we will. It's literally about God wanting to be a part of our lives every day. I think that's why God sent his angels to the shepherds. I really do. To let us know that his son was for all people. Like I said, we get this image of what we think the shepherds were, and I'm going to tell you, they were a rough, dirty, rowdy bunch. But he came for those like us, ordinary. Maybe I should even say he came especially for the ordinary. Do you remember the scripture that tells us that Jesus had no beauty of his own? Folks, he came, and he was who he was, not because he had a physique that would attract people, but because the Spirit of himself, of God, would attract people. I love what verse 9 of the King James Version says. It says, verse 9, it says, and they that the shepherds were sore afraid. You know what that literally means? They were scared to death. The angels were in, the shepherds were in shock because of the angels. Scared flat half to death. They probably thought they were going to die. Listen, these were a people who were probably right then grazing their sheep on somebody else's land. And here the angel busts out and they're going, we're caught, guys. We're going to pay for it all right now. And that's not what happened. They said, don't be afraid. We have good news for you. Good news. God was bringing, they thought, his wrath down on them. And instead, he was bringing them good news. And they were the first in all the world to hear it. The angel told him, fear not. I have good news for whom? Everybody. Today a Savior's born. Listen, what an awesome thing. And then when he said that a Savior's born, do you remember what happened next? Cue the choir. And the heavenly host began to sing and praise God. Can you imagine? No, you can't. You just had to be there. You just had to be there. In the midst of this ordinary night with ordinary shepherds, they encountered an extraordinary God of salvation. And the message was shouted from the heavens. Listen, I'm going to tell you, nobody was more surprised than those shepherds. Nobody. They were going, to us? They never expected to hear from God. And listen, if they actually went to the tabernacle, they never expected to hear from God, even when they were in church. They sure didn't expect to hear from him out on the hillsides. But that's the way God is sometimes, isn't it? We come to church, and we don't hear from God. We come to study, and we don't hear from God. And then, in the quiet moments of ordinary life, God just lightens the place and reveals to us. I've had times like that. I hope and pray that you have. If you haven't, seek the heart of God. He will give them to you. That's why we've got to be ready to meet him at any time, anywhere. God is always at work around you. Let me say that again. Did you know that God is always at work around you? He never stops. He never quits. If God is always at work around you, what are you supposed to be doing? Watching to see what he's doing. And when God reveals himself to you, you're supposed to join him. That's what the shepherds did. How did they respond? Like good old country boys ought to, amen? Come on, no country boys out there today. You remember, do you realize that we are celebrating 11 years together? Not all of you, but some of us from the very beginning, 11 years together. And if you don't know me by now, you know if I don't hear from you, I start over. How did the shepherds respond? Like good old country boys, like they should, amen? There you go. Folks, they just had to go see for themselves. Because when you tell a Texas boy about something that's awesome, they don't just want to hear about it, they want to see it. You got pictures? What happened then? They got busy and they headed straight out. Look it with me. Look with me at verse 15 and 16, would you? Chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it said, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem.'" Why Bethlehem? Because that's where they said that he was. "And let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste." Now let me tell you what haste means. They ran. They didn't stop. They didn't get somebody to watch the sheep. They didn't worry about the campfire. They ran to where Jesus Christ was. They ran to him. He says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." They ran. I'm going to tell you, I think there's more times in our life that we need to run back to God. There are times that we walk back to the Lord. We say, "Well, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to try to hear a message and I'm going to ask God to come back in." We maybe bow the knee, we come to him in prayer, and we crawl back to God. Listen, there are times that we need to run. There should be no walking, there should be no hesitating. Just arms open, all out, just like a 2-year-old, running to mama, hard as we can, to get back to the Lord we love. And then what did they do? The scripture says that they ran to Bethlehem. They didn't argue over the theology of angels, how many were there. They didn't argue on how many of them could sit on the top of a pen. They didn't argue about anything. They didn't sit down and try to write a book. They literally jumped up and they ran to see Jesus. And then look at verse 17 and 18. It says what they did then. "And then when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds." So let's back up. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them. What does that mean? Now, I want to describe these people. These people were outside people. They didn't use their indoor voices. These people were active people. They didn't walk. When it says that they made known to all, what do you think that means? Listen, they did like your pastor. They got loud and proud. They were yelling the news. Let me tell you. And people were amazed when these lowly shepherds, if you will, told them what God had done. These guys must have been so excited, they literally could not contain what God had told them. I've got to ask you, why can't we have that kind of wonder today? What is it going to take for us to have that kind of wonder today, to tell people about the wonderful news of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, Christmas has become so routine, so predictable, so programmed that we stifle our excitement. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you're a lot like me, are you not, most of you? Now, I'm going to tell you, I've got a daughter-in-law that puts her Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving. Bless her heart. Thank you, Jenny. Before Halloween. She gets excited about Christmas. She helps me. Listen, let's help each other. But I'm going to ask you, are you like me when they start playing Christmas songs before even Thanksgiving? You're kind of going, really? Perhaps, folks, we become just a little hardened to what Christmas is really about. Are you with me? Listen, I'm going to say that it's not hard to become a little hardened and crass about the commercialism of Christmas. Amen? I understand that. But who is going to share the truth of Christmas if we don't?
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. What a wonderful time, even in passing, to say, have you heard about my Savior? He loves you. And even if you don't have time to share much more than that, you can say, you know, our church teaches about him every Sunday. We'd love for you to be there. Come and join us. Instead of the routine, the predictable, the program, why don't we just make a better choice? Why don't we do this? Stop the routine and start celebrating his presence. You can celebrate his presence. And I'm going to tell you, you can tell the difference in people, can't you, who are celebrating the presence of the Lord and those that are harried by the holiday. We've got to continue to share the wonder. You see, once you've seen Jesus, if you've really seen Jesus, if you really know Jesus, how can you keep silent? Amen? How do you stop? Why don't we do like those shepherds, overwhelmed with the presence of God, where we couldn't possibly keep from telling the world what he's done for us? Isn't it amazing what we forget? Isn't it amazing what we put aside? And it is by choice. When our eyes leave the Savior, how quickly we sink. You know, there are millions stuck in the routine of life who need the wonder of the life of Christ. I don't know how you celebrate Christmas in your home, but I'm going to tell you, isn't it about time that Santa was bowing at the manger? I don't know what your teaching is. I got in trouble for doing my own teaching from the pulpit one time there. My job is not to teach about somebody else. My job is to teach about Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you, if Santa is still in your home, make sure he bows the knee to the Lord of Lords, to the King of Kings, to the Savior of the world. Make sure he's telling the real Christmas story. And I can tell you, my kids know it's usually the last gift of the night or the day. And it is always a gift-wrapped baby Jesus, because that's when we share the biblical story of the greatest gift that was ever given. Folks, make sure we're telling the real Christmas story. I want to share a story with you. It's been around a long time, but it just seems to fit. It goes like this. His name was Bill. He had wild hair. He wore a t-shirt with holes in it and no shoes. Rain, shine, cold, hot. No shoes, same wardrobe. In the entire time that I knew him, not me, but the person writing this, I never once saw Bill wear a pair of shoes. He was always barefoot. That was his complete wardrobe for his 4 years in college. He was brilliant. He looked like he was always pondering the esoteric. And he had been attending a Bible fellowship with us and other students, and he actually decided to attend the church across the street from the college campus because he was intrigued about the message of Christ. One day, on one Sunday, Bill walks into church, wild hair, holy t-shirt, blue jeans, bare feet. And the church was absolutely packed that morning, and the service had already started when Bill came in. Bill started down the aisle and began to look side to side for a place to sit. And as he got towards the front, people began to look a little uncomfortable that he might come sit with them. But he found no place to sit. Just about the time that he got to the front, he realized that there were no open seats, and the tension in the air of the church was getting thicker and thicker. So he did what most college students did in the time of his day. He sat down right in the middle of the aisle in front of the pulpit to hear what was going on. They said you could have heard a pin drop on the carpet. An old deacon, just about the time that Bill sat down, started his way down the aisle, cane in hand. He was an immaculate man, in his 80s, silver hair, three-piece suit, tie, and a beautiful cane that clicked every time it hit the tile floor before he got to the carpet. Click, click. People watched him go towards the front, and they said, you know, you can't blame him for what he's fixing to tell this guy. You don't come into this cultured church and sit down in the front like a hippie. They said, you can't blame him for what he's about to do. How can you expect a man of his age and background to understand some college kid sitting in the floor of their dignified church? It took a long time for the old deacon to reach the young man, and the church was utterly silent except for the clicking of that cane. Nobody breathed, and every eye was on the old deacon. And everyone gasped as they saw what happened next, because with great effort, the old deacon got down on the floor next to Bill, smiled, shared his hymn book, and worshiped with the young man on the floor. When the pastor got up to preach to his congregation, he said, what I'm about to preach, none of you are going to remember, but what you just saw, you'll never forget. God speaks to people who are here. And sometimes it's not the people that you expect. And when they're drawn to see the Savior, when they're drawn to be in His church, would you respond to what God is doing? Would you hear yourself? Would you go see what He's talking about? Let your joy be known among the people. Invite those around you to joy in the joy of the Lord. And when they do come to hear, would you make them comfortable where they are, so that they could hear the Word of God and rejoice with all the rest of us rednecks, if you will, in the love and in the joy of Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, pray with me. Father, we are so thankful that you didn't come to the elite. Otherwise, God, we would have been left out. We are so thankful, God, that you came for the ordinary folks like us in such a need of healing. God, we have so many hurts, personal hurts, physical hurts, family hurts. God, there's just a lot of need here in this world. And we are so thankful that you came to us for us. Lord Jesus, would you help us to be poured out to you and for you? Would you help us to have eyes to see where you're at work and a willing, obedient heart that'll join you in whatever it is you're doing? Whether it's in a pew or on the floor or in a classroom or in a field, in an office or on the streets, God, would you help us to have eyes that would see you, ears that would hear you, and hearts that would seek you.